today we've got two readings, and the first reading is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The second reading is taken from Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
Lizzie, thanks very much for reading. Let me add my welcome to Kev's and Anya's. If you've not been here for the past couple of Sundays, this is the last in a series of three sermons where we've been thinking about the topic of rest in the Bible. And I hope we'll keep thinking about over the next few weeks, particularly over the Christmas periods. Let me commend to you something that might help you with that. This is a book called A Time for Everything by Matt Fuller. Matt is the senior pastor down the road at Christchurch Mayfair, and I think this is a really excellent book. The subtitle is, probably can't quite read it there, How to Be Busy Without Feeling Burdened. So it'll be really good to remind you of some of the things we've been thinking about over these 3 weeks, and also will help you think more generally about time and priorities. So why not treat yourself to an early Christmas present? Get hold of a copy of that. Now, I'm a really big fan of the director Christopher Nolan. This is one of the films that really put him on the map, Memento. It's about a man who is trying to track down the person who's responsible for killing his wife. But the complication is he suffers from a strange form of amnesia, which means he can never remember what happened more than about 15 minutes ago. And so he relies on memory aids, Polaroid photos, tattoos all over his body, which remind him of who people are and what he's supposed to be doing and where he's going. I wonder what your short-term memory is like. I guess most of us have our own memory aids. I remember a few years ago feeling awful because I'd left someone waiting for me in a cafe. I'd just completely forgotten that I'd arranged to meet them. And so ever since then, whenever I've arranged to meet up with someone, that has gone straight in my electronic calendar with a reminder set. We've noted several times in this series that for most of us, life feels busy. And the more we stuff into our lives, the more help that we need to remember things. And that is true when it comes to remembering God. I wonder what your short-term memory of God is like. I don't know about you, I tend to find mine is not very good. I need help to remember my relationship with him. And really what we're going to be seeing today is the Bible says that is what God gives us rest time for. You remember at the start of our series, we saw that the Bible speaks about rest in a couple of different ways. So over the last couple of Sundays, we've mainly thought about this constant state of rest that God made us for. We saw that he has made us for a relationship with him, and that we can enter into that rest through coming to Jesus. And today we're going to be turning to consider what the Bible has to say about temporary times of rest, and particularly how those times of rest help us to remember that permanent rest. So when it comes to time off, I wonder, do you think you have a good rest ethic? I wonder how much you've thought about that before. We've probably all thought at least a bit about what it means to have a good work ethic. And that's partly, isn't it, about giving proper time to work. But we know that quantity of work doesn't necessarily guarantee good quality work. The way that we work is arguably more important. I think the same is true with a good rest ethic. Actually, more about quality than quantity. Which I think is a very helpful thing to remember for those of us who are genuinely very busy. And we saw last time it is possible for some of us to be busy for bad reasons, because we're pursuing rest for our souls in the wrong place. Maybe we could make more time for rest. But I think actually probably plenty of us here just genuinely have lots of responsibilities in our lives that we can't do very much about. Now, you know, if you've got a young family, for example, and you're serving at church on top of that, life is probably going to feel pretty busy, and rest time will feel very squeezed. And if that's you, I hope this series hasn't made you feel guilty about that. Rest is important. I hope we've seen that. But I think really, actually, what most of us need is probably not more rest time, but better quality rest time. And good quality rest time is about remembering God. So one big point for today, rest is for remembering. That is what Israel's Sabbath day was all about. Listen to how it's described here in Leviticus 23. For 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. We saw a couple of weeks ago that the Sabbath was patterned on the seventh day of creation, when God rested and enjoyed relationship with the people he'd made. And so the Sabbath became the sign of Israel's covenant with God. It was the climax of the law, a day to remember that life is all about relationship with God. And that's why it was so important. And it's also why it was so disastrous when Israel stopped observing it. This is God's charge against Israel in Ezekiel chapter 20. God says, "So I led them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes and made known to them my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned." Do you see, at the heart of Israel's forgetting God was their ignoring of the Sabbath. And we're not told which of those two things came first. But if God gave them the Sabbath to remember him, well, it's not hard to imagine how a spiral of forgetfulness would have developed. Forgetting God leads to ignoring the Sabbath. This leads to more forgetting God. Part of the problem was that Israel ignored God's memory aid. And that was disastrous. God knows that our short-term memory of him is not good. He knows that we need help to remember. So he gave Israel a day for that. So then, is the simple application for us that we should keep a Sabbath day today? We all probably be aware that that is a question that Christians happily disagree about. Many Christians would answer that question yes, and would say Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. You may well be one of them. And if that's you, if you're persuaded by the Bible that that is the case, then please by all means do that. And please, please don't hear what I'm about to say as if I think that is some kind of terrible error. But I do think the New Testament says that's not quite right. Colossians 2, one of the main pieces of evidence for that. In Colossians, Paul is concerned about false teachers who are requiring Christians in Colossae to keep bits of the Old Testament law, including, it seems, the Sabbath. And so Paul writes this in Colossians 2. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Paul says you don't need to keep the Sabbath anymore, because the Sabbath was only a shadow. It was a picture of rest, pointing forwards to the rest that you now have in Jesus. Now that the reality has come, now that the shadow's been fulfilled, we don't need it anymore. See, in the Old Testament, relationship with God was restricted. There was a time and a place for it. Sure, you could pray any time, but if you really wanted deep fellowship with God, actually you had to wait for Saturday, for the holy convocation that Leviticus 23 described, a holy day and a holy gathering, or for time at the temple, a holy place. But the great thing about the new covenant is that Jesus has done away with restricted access to God. There's no more holy place, no more temple, because Jesus comes and dwells within us by his Spirit. And there's no more holy times, no more Sabbath, because Jesus has given us that deep, intimate relationship with God all the time. Now, you and I can enjoy spiritual rest in Jesus every day. So I think that's why you don't see the Sabbath commanded anywhere in the New Testament. But, having said that, if Jesus has given us a far closer relationship with God now, it would be kind of strange, wouldn't it, to think that God is less keen for us to spend time remembering our relationship with him, wouldn't it? But surely the opposite is true. Surely we should want to have more Sabbath time, not less of it. But we certainly still need times to remember, don't we? Adam Mabry, I think, puts it really well in his book, The Art of Rest. He says this: the non-stop pace of Western life is neither physically sustainable nor spiritually beneficial. It is, however, a remarkably effective way to slowly forget God. Sabbath may not be a command for us now, but I think it'd be foolish if we didn't learn some lessons from it about the importance of rest, and particularly of resting in a way that remembers God. And so we're going to think about just three lessons that we can learn from the Sabbath. Three ways that we can remember God with our time off. Firstly, rest time helps us to remember that we are not God. God has made us to need rest. That is something that was reflected in the Sabbath law. And so here's Exodus 23. For 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. See, unlike God, we get tired. We get tired physically, we get tired mentally. That is part of the way that God humbles us into seeing that we're not like him. We're not God, we're limited. And so that meant part of the purpose of Sabbath was to give time just to recharge. And that's something we're all going to do in different ways, isn't it? I think we probably need to be careful not to assume that everyone will just rest just like us. I remember a few years ago being part of a team of guests helping run a Christian Union Mission Week. Rico Tice was the speaker. Some of us will know him. And Mission Week, it can be pretty full on, pretty intense. So Rico at one point sat us down to talk to us about the importance of getting good rest. And I remember him saying that he would always go home in the evening, even if it was quite late, often it would be, and he would always watch the rugby highlights before he went to bed. And I was quite surprised by that. I think I'd assumed that the godly thing to do would obviously just be to jump straight into bed so as to be refreshed for the next day. But actually, he just knew himself. Some people can survive on less sleep than others. He just determined he needed that mental break more than he needed a physical one. Obviously, don't let that become an excuse to stay up all night. The point is simply that we need to think about just what's most sensible for us. Sometimes it is not ungodly to be a bit of a couch potato. And rest is partly about recharge, and that is good because it reminds us we're not God. And so we can slump on a sofa in front of the TV and we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I don't need to be all go all the time because you're God, not me. Unlike me, you don't get tired. You keep providing for me and caring for me. And so thank you that I can trust you enough just to stop. Did you know you can be a godly couch potato? You can be. Just so long as you're not like that all the time. Because there is more to rest than that. And so secondly, rest helps us remember God's goodness as our creator. If you look back to the first reading we had from Exodus 20, you'll see that was the first reason God gave Israel for why they should keep the Sabbath. And they were to take the seventh day off. Why? I think that's going to come up on a slide. There we go. Verse 11. Why? Well, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Rest is all about enjoying the good things that God has made in his good world out of his kindness. Calvin, in his commentary on Genesis, has this really beautiful passage where he describes, or rather compares, the way that God has filled the world with good things as being a little bit like how a parent might prepare a bedroom ready for a newborn baby. God made it all for us to enjoy. And that's why Paul in 1 Timothy writes strongly against false teachers who were saying that being spiritual is all about denying ourselves pleasure. Some people think that, Christians believe that. But chapter 4, Paul strongly condemns those, verse 3, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Why? Verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So just picture this scene with me. Imagine you're a parent. Not hard if you are one, but if you're not, imagine you are a parent. And this Christmas day, you give your child a great present that you just know they're going to love. And what they do is they take it from you and they put it on a shelf and they start setting the table for dinner. And so you say, well, what are you doing that for? I thought you'd want to play with your gift. To which they reply, well, I thought you'd be more pleased with me if I served you. Now, That would be pretty weird for a number of reasons, wouldn't it? I mean, number one, what child does that? But yeah, you wouldn't want that, would you? I'm sure you'd be delighted for them to set the table. But you'd also really want them to enjoy your gift. And God is a good father who wants us to enjoy the gifts he's given us, not just serve all the time. We're his children, not his slaves. But just imagine the scenario plays out a little differently. So this time, imagine the child grabs the present off you, runs up to their room, slams the door, and doesn't say a word of thanks to you, doesn't speak to you for the rest of the day. That is a much more realistic scenario. Because that is much more what we're like, isn't it? And that is so often what we are like with God's gifts. Did you notice twice in two verses here, Paul talks about receiving God's gifts with thanksgiving? See, that should be one of the biggest differences between how we rest and how the world rests. It's not all about us doing different things with our time. It's about how we view those things. It's about whether we appreciate God through them, whether we remember his goodness as our creator through them. And I think we'll find when we do that, we actually enjoy those things a lot more. I love this quote from Jim Packer. He writes this: "Pleasure, unalloyed and unending, is God's purpose for his people in every aspect and activity of their fellowship with him. I hold the heady doctrine that no pleasures are so frequent or intense as those of the grateful, devoted, single-minded, wholehearted, self-denying Christian. I maintain that the delights of work and leisure, of friendship and family, of eating and mating, or arts and crafts, or playing and watching games, or finding out and making things, of helping other people, and all the other noble pleasures that life affords, are doubled for the Christian. The Christian tastes God in all his or her pleasures, and this increases them. Whereas for other people, pleasure brings with it a sense of hollowness, which reduces it." Are you tasting God in your pleasures? That's the first reason God gives us rest time, to remember his goodness as our creator. But interestingly, when the Ten Commandments are repeated in Deuteronomy, God gives a slightly different reason. So if you look on to the end of our second reading from Deuteronomy 5, do you see the change of reason there in verse 15? "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And God wanted the Sabbath to remind Israel that he'd saved them. And they'd been slaving away in Egypt, but he'd given them rest from that. And so a day in the week of rest from work reminded them of that. When we take times of rest, we can remember that God has saved us from all the anxious toil that so often fills our weeks, especially our work. Through Jesus, he's given us rest for our souls now, and he's promised us a world to come, not without work at all, but certainly without the hard burdens of fallen work in this broken world. And so rest is not just for appreciating God as our good creator, it's for remembering his even greater kindness as our savior. It's remembering Jesus. Remembering everything we thought about last Sunday. That we can have relationship with God at rest from the burdens of life because of Jesus. So as we finish, I want to suggest three questions it might be helpful for us to reflect on as we think about our rest times. Number one, what activities will give me a healthy balance of rest? That is to say, a balance that will help me remember God in each of those three different ways. So I'm really not averse to the idea of crashing in front of the TV when we're really tired. Unsurprisingly, studies have shown that our brains are less active when we watch TV. That might make it a helpful way to recharge. But remember, good rest is more than just purely recharge. So personally, I find watching TV doesn't particularly help me to remember the Lord. Whereas something like reading, I find just helps me think a lot more. And so I particularly enjoy reading Christian biographies because they're quite light, easy reads, but they help point me to Jesus. Number two, related to that then, does the way I spend my rest time help me remember God, or does it make me forget him? I think it's really worth thinking about what voices we're listening to in our rest times. Are they voices that are reminding me of the Lord, or are they actually voices that are encouraging me to think about the world according to a godless worldview? And see, that is generally going to be the view of the world that's presented to us in the news or in our social media feeds. And so I think we need to be a bit careful what we're filling our minds with. Not at all to say that we should stay away from all forms of media. But it is worth asking the question as we scroll through our Instagram feeds. Is this cultivating in me a heart of gratitude and contentment, or one of envy? Or as we read the news, is this cultivating a heart of trust in my Heavenly Father's care, or just one of anxiety and frustration? Finally, number three, how might all of this impact Sundays? Remember there was that holy convocation, a holy gathering on the Sabbath? God made us to enjoy our rest in relationship with him together. And so even if, like me, you're not persuaded that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath, well, it's clear from the very earliest days of the church that Christians met together regularly on Sundays to remember the Lord together. They called it the Lord's Day. That term is in the New Testament. And it may not be a rule for us to keep, but wouldn't it be a really helpful idea to take one whole day each week, not just the time we're at church, but a whole day, to really concentrate on our relationship with God? I wonder if that's something we could chat about with one another afterwards that might be helpful. Rest is for remembering. Remember the Lord. It really is the best refreshment you can get. He has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in him.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your desire to dwell with your people, despite our constantly rebellious nature throughout all of history. We're sorry for the times we've not appreciated this gift of a relationship with you, both now through the Holy Spirit and in that future new creation rest, where all pain will cease and we'll see you face to face. As we journey through this life, please help us always to remember this wondrous story of rescue that you've made us a part of. We pray that our time spent resting on this earth, whether alone or with friends, in leisure or activity, in deep thought or relaxing, will all ultimately reflect our identity as your sons and daughters. Help us as a church family to be honest with one another and help each other think through what this might look like in each of our lives for your glory. We now turn to pray for our mission partner Nathan in Madagascar. Even as he's seen one of the Malagasy churches face complex issues including relational strain between the leadership and congregation. We thank you that they have since taken active steps to work through these issues together. We pray that you grant wisdom to all parties involved, that they might seek first your glory in all things. We also pray for Nathan personally, that he would be able to get alongside the church to share your gospel to the people there who do not yet know you. And as this country gears up for Christmas and all the festivities that come with it, we thank you that this is the first Christmas in 3 years we've had without the threat of COVID lockdowns looming overhead. However, we pray for those who will still find Christmas a difficult time, whether through broken family relationships or struggling to make ends meet as the cost of living crisis continues to rumble on. We pray that through good situations and the bad, that your truth will shine through and that Christians across the country might be sharing the news of your son's arrival as a baby in a manger that first Christmas. We pray through this season, hearts might be convicted of the second coming of your son in glory and in justice, and that many hearts might be turned to you through the wondrous news of the gospel. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.